This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, there for the introduction, and welcome to the Christian War Room. Yeah, we are looking at an interesting subject today. This is my definition of this. I think sometimes I'm a sucker. So when I see some very strange and weird ministries, I get intrigued. I want to know what these guys are all about. And one thing which always bamboozles me is how people can fall for so-called ministries purporting to stand for the name of Jesus Christ, and yet all they're doing is just a blatant abuse of the flock they're supposed to look after. Anyway, I stumbled over this, and what I tend to do is, on my way to work and on my way back, I sort of look for something interesting, some audio tracks, and I just came across this. And there's a ministry, I don't want to mention any names, but if you get tied up with a ministry like this, my encouragement to you is to look very carefully and to really... think about it. Think what you're letting yourself in for, and what your vision is for this ministry. The most important thing is really, where does God want you to be? A couple of sort of things whilst I was praying about this whole thing and everything. God doesn't necessarily want you, and this is one thing which became very clear to me. Even if you are a member or a part of a really bad ministry, or of a ministry where people are, let me use this term, which is, I think, is used too flippantly, where people are abused. Another term might be where people are exploited for personal gain for some individuals within this organization. I'm convinced that God can still speak to you, and that God can still, encourage you, edify you, and even use bad ministers to preach or have his word preached to some extent. It doesn't justify whatever is going on, but the point I'm trying to make is that that even if you're in a bad environment, if you put your trust in the living God and you you are sort of attending it in sincerity, it is not your problem. It is not something you have done, but very often it's something which has gone dramatically wrong with the leadership. Do we need to call it out? And the answer is yes, of course we do. We need to call it out because the world looks on us, and it's a really bad testimony. It's not really what should be taking place. And I think some of the things which has happened over the last 50 years is some sort of culture of, let me just use this term. It's a very bad term, but let's use it and let's call it what it is. Call it out as what it is. It's just pimping the church. Yeah, pimping the church. The term pimping comes from using prostitutes. Yeah, so a pimp will have a prostitute who goes and earns money for the pimp. The pimp, offers some sort of protection or some sort of, base for the people to go back to. Since many countries it's operating on the fringe of legality or outside the law, they need some sort of policeman to try and look after them. And in turn for that, most of the money they earn, very often most of the money, goes to this person, to this pimp. And I think that's something what's happening in the church. So you've got people who have got an extraordinary lifestyle and who live it up to, the wildest imaginations. I mean, many kings and many, top leaders in the nations, they don't live like some of these people live. Yeah. And anyway, the film or the clip I saw was from a court case of a minister who got a media ministry, and the guy is just rich beyond the wildest dreams. Yeah. And anyway, these people got scrutinized. I'm not sure whether it was the IRS in America. It was a black American minister. I'm not sure whether it was the IRS or it was some sort of court case, or he was about, to be done for fraud. But he was, all you could see is just like a camera pointed on him, which I think in America is normal, it's legal, you can do this. a lawyer sitting aside of him, which he couldn't see within the field of view. And then this person was questioned. I'm not sure whether it was a judge or it was a prosecutor or an investigator. I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure how the thing works. But anyway, he was questioned about his financial affairs. And I think the issue from what I could gather is that in America, a ministry or a church is tax-free, but a minister who gets paid by the church has to pay tax. And I think the thing was that he was pursuing this exorbitantly luxurious lifestyle, and he was not paying tax on this. It was just a revenue from the church, which was untaxed, but he was using it. So pretty much when I followed this conversation, is the guy just made a point that, oh, this is all ministry, you know. This is ministry, that is ministry, and therefore it doesn't have to be taxed, and it's not part of his enumeration. It was quite interesting when you followed it through. I'd since seen that the whole case, I've only seen, I think, a snippet of about 10 minutes. The whole case is about 1 hour, 40 minutes. I'm not sure whether I want to watch it all, but it was quite interesting to see. Anyway, a few things came out of it. His lifestyle was just crazy, absolutely crazy. I mean, his clothes bill in 1 year, just on his clothes, in one store, this is just in one store, approximates about my annual wages, and I'm a professional. I work as a lecturer. I don't make good money, but I don't make bad money either. But that was almost, you know, what I earn, what I make in a year. That is what he was spending on one shop for clothing, and this is a bloke, it's not a woman, on clothing. And then the names were Louis Vuitton. I think it's some really expensive clothes store. So he was spending, like, there were bills like $55,000 in 1 year, and lots of other stuff. There was a huge, I'm not sure whether that was $55,000, but it was big bills. I remember there was one bill to Limousine Land, where he had a Mercedes and it was turned into a stretched limousine. And that was a huge amount of money. I'm not sure. Again, I'm just talking out of the top of my head, so whether the figures are right or not, but incredible figures, like $150,000 or something. I'm not sure whether this figure is correct, by the way. So don't quote me on this. But it sort of went on and on and on. So he had a driver. Yeah, he had a Bentley. And again, his argument was, oh, he gets high-profile personalities to his ministry, and so he needs a Bentley to pick them up, and sometimes he drives it, sometimes he doesn't. He has got a Land Rover or Range Rover for himself, which, again, you know, you need a car, and nothing to be said about this. But do you need a car that's so expensive? But anyway, the lavish lifestyle was just sort of opened by this prosecutor, investigator, judge. I'm not sure what this person was or who this person was. And it sort of unopened more and more and more. And he just tried to make a point, you know, that it was all for the ministry, it was all for his high-profile guests, and he needs to have these expensive clothing because when he is traveling, this is what he said, quote, he sweats an awful lot and he needs to change his clothing, and therefore he needs to have this Louis Vuitton, this really expensive clothing to do this, and it's important because it's a media ministry, so he needs to look good. And it goes on and on and on. When I looked at his lifestyle, and when I looked at, you know, the stretched limousines, the Bentleys, the, you know, the very expensive clothing, you know, hanging out in a clothing store somewhere in the Bahamas and, you know, traveling all over the place, was it for ministry or not? I don't know. But when I look at all this stuff, it to me, it just looked like somebody who is a pimp. Yeah. A very extravagant lifestyle. And this guy proposes to be a pastor, a minister of a church. I mean, the investigator, the lady, she made the point and he said, look, do you think this is right? You know, you've got the poor, you've got drug addicts, you've got people who are really struggling in society. You are living it up. You've got a lavish lifestyle and you are proposing to be a minister of religion. Yeah, she didn't say minister of Christ or whatever, but a minister of religion. And to him, it was just normal, it was okay, and it was necessary, and so on. Okay, Now, what I want to look at is, I mean, obviously, to me, this is deception. I mean, look at the lifestyle of these people. And Jesus said it as well, you know. He warned us, and he said there will be many false prophets, you know, coming up and saying he's here and there. Some of them will even do miracles and so on. But then he said, you will recognize them by their fruit. You will recognize them by their fruit. And when I look at the fruit of this man, and I was praying about this, and again, I don't know whether this is a revelation or it's just, you know, the thoughts that came into my mind when I was looking at this guy. He came across as reasonably sincere, and he came across like an okay guy, you know, as he was interrogated. And I thought to myself, maybe, you know, it was just somebody who made a good start with the Lord, you know, somebody who loved the Lord, and he went into the ministry. Suddenly the money came rolling in, and soon enough it just corrupted him. And then, you know, 20, 30 years down the line, he is here. He is incredibly rich, beyond his wildest dreams. He has been told that this is okay. This is a prosperity gospel, you know. God is going to bless you if you do the right thing. And so he just walked in this path, not realizing that he's been deceived from beginning to end. And then suddenly he wakes up and he finds himself in a courthouse, having to defend of what he's doing. And I don't know. Maybe it's all taken away from him. Maybe the best thing that could happen to this man is that he loses a lot, and he has to start from scratch. You know, having to trust God for his daily meals, and going back, throwing himself back upon the mercy of God. And upon a man proclaiming the truth of the gospel. I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to wish him bad. I wish him to repent, to come back to a real understanding of Jesus Christ, of the gospel, of the word of God, to live a life worthy of the gospel and not a life in an indulgence. And that's something which, by the looks of it, which he has been doing, obviously. Okay, I want to look at 7 points about deception, how to recognize deception, and also for you as well. So I'm not saying, you know, when you look at these traits and you find these traits in any of these guys, you know, this is really bad, walk out of the church and look for a new church or something. Pray about it, you know, just pray about your leaders. Also pray for the welfare of your leaders, for the spiritual welfare. And it's the devil is going to attack churches by attacking the leaders first. And the attack may not be the obvious. It may not just be, you know, some crazy guy with a gun trying to shoot them. It may just be by giving them lots of money and they fall for it. And we see this with this guy that, you know, down the line he finds himself in court and he's possibly at the point of losing the lot, you know, the way things are going or the way things were going in this court case. He's a public persona. A lot of people know him. I didn't know him before. I'm pretty versed what's going on in the Christian world. I've never seen him before. But when I looked, checked him out on his website and everything, and he looked like he had a, you know, very big ministry, but I think he's predominantly in the black community in the States. Okay, 7 points, and I got some of them from a website, so I don't have to, 5 of them I got from a website, and I thought it's a good point. We need to go through this here in the Christian War Room. The first one is a self-promotion. You know, people push themselves. And one of the things that's always been a big bugbear of mine, when you get a ministry name and you get the name of the ministry and you get like, XYZ Ministries, you know, for example, if I would call it my name, Michael, yeah, Michael Ministries, it's crazy, you know, and this is not about me. This is not about, it's not about you either. It's about Jesus Christ and proclaiming the name of Christ and standing for the word of God. And that is really all we need to do for it. Our personalities are insignificant. We just do the job God has entrusted to us. And some of us are very good at it, and some of us are less good at it. All of us can improve, I'm sure about that. And we should all strive to improve. So anyway, Paul has got a similar he had an issue with the Corinthians where some of them said, I'm of Cephas, I'm a Cephas kind of guy, and somebody else says, I'm an Apollos kind of guy. And Paul said to these guys, are you all crazy? Were you baptized in the name of Cephas or in the name of Paul of Apollos? And he says, I'm happy that I didn't baptize any one of you so that nobody could say I'm of Paul. And he makes a point, you're of Christ. You know, when we talk about ministries, ministries are just of Christ. They're of Jesus Christ. They are not of Paul. They are not of Michael. They're not of Peter, not of the Pope or anybody else. You're not a Protestant. You're not a Catholic. You're not an Orthodox. You're a Christian. You're of Christ. And that is very, very important that we always focus on this point. Yeah? Self-promotion is completely missed. Yeah, we are not rock stars, and that's a problem that the church tries to mimic the world. And very often we've got rock star personalities within the church, people flock to them because names are known. I mean, it's been throughout history. We had it with Spurgeon, the prince of preachers. And the guy was a gifted orator. We had it with John Wesley. When he turned up somewhere, loads of people came to listen to him. John Bunyan, the same thing, you know, 1600s. When he was somewhere, people listened to him. They flocked to listen to him. They wanted to hear him. And there was a little bit like this rock star thing going on. But really, you know, we should stay away from that. It is not about personalities. It's about Christ. You know, if, yeah, it's a problem. Okay, what else to look out for? I mean, some people, they give themselves big titles. They call themselves apostle or bishop or prophet or something like that. So if a title gets slung about, don't listen to it. There are giftings within the church, and there are giftings of prophecy and so on. And you don't need a title to practice a gifting. You know, you don't need to be called prophet to prophesy. You don't need to be called an apostle to do apostolic work. On the contrary, very often it's a big problem. So just look out for this. So if people sling about titles and then they hide behind their title because they have achieved something, this is not the Christian way. The Christian way is that the top guy amongst you is a servant of you all. Yeah, that is what Jesus has taught us. And we need to stick to this. We need to stick to this concept of serving rather than, you know, being the boss or being some important personality. And again, we should encourage sort of leadership from the bottom level. When we talk about leadership, yeah, we should encourage each and every one to just embrace, you know, taking up responsibilities within the kingdom of God. There shouldn't be anyone amongst us who is without purpose. There shouldn't be, we are not a consumer society as a church, but we are contributors and not consumers. It's a very, very different thing. I mean, we do consume as well, but we are also contributors, and all of us should be contributors. And I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about gifting, I'm talking about encouragement, teaching, building the church, helping people, you know, holding things together and so on. You will hear these people, the self-promotion guys, you see photos of themselves all over the place. And I've seen this. I went to one church, which I would consider today a cult. And some of my friends were very much tied up with this. And it was sort of an amazing movement. It started from very little and grew to quite a substantial amount of people. But when you look at what was going on within this church, when you went to the book table, all you saw is this prime pastor of this movement with all his books and his wisdom splattered all over the place. And I found it quite interesting. I mean, if I had a Christian book table in the church, what I would stick on there is, number one, a couple of Bibles, you know, children's Bible, adult Bible, you know, Bibles of different translations. The next thing I would put there is maybe like an encyclopedia of the Bible. There may be something about church history, something about, you know, difficult parts in life you need to cope with, maybe addictions and, you know, the Christian life and things like that. And sort of have certain subjects covered, but predominantly, you know, it's about the Bible. But what do you find when you go to a cultic Christian church? That everything is about one person, and that is the top leader, the top dog of the organization. And you see his photos plastered all over the place. We are here to worship Jesus. We are here to seek Jesus. Our answers come from God, you know. We receive our help from the living God. When we are in trouble, we approach the throne of the living God. When we're looking for wisdom, we are turning to his word, to the word of God. We're turning to Jesus, but not to humans, to people. All we can do is just encourage one another to walk in the right way. Okay, the next one is, and I'm looking at the time as well, we're slowly running out of time, but it doesn't matter, you know, we will carry on in the next war room talk. The next one is popularity. You know, these guys are all about popularity. That's what they crave for. They want to be plastered all over the place. And these guys, they don't necessarily tell you what you need to hear, but you tell you what you want to hear. And we've got this in Timothy where Paul warns us of these people, you know, tickling of ears. Now, Paul talks about this, that the people will be looking out for preachers who will tickle their ears, who will just tell them what they want to hear. And we find this today as well, you know, all this, you know, psychobabble. Yeah, you're good, you're nice, you know, God is, you know, here to give you a better life and things like that. And even though this is a problem, even though they are partly speaking the truth. Now, I tell you, if you walk with God, your life is going to be better than not walking with God. And that is in all aspects of your life. You've got more peace, more joy, more health in your life. And I'm convinced of that. And that is simply by the mere virtue of fact that your lifestyle changes. Yeah, you eat less bad food, you have got more exercise, you engage in less, you know, bad practices like drinking excessively, pursuing maybe hobbies which are harmful and dangerous to you. You are more loving, you are more relaxed, you are less stressed. And all this is going to have an impact on your life. And that is just by the virtue of fact that you are a Christian and that God has come into your life and that you are living your life not just out of your own strength, but you are living it through the Spirit of God empowering you, giving you strength, leading and guiding you. But it's not the main issue. Yeah. That is not why we come to Christ. We come to Christ because we are sinners. And this is the kind of stuff we need to hear. We are rotten sinners. We sin. We are not pleasing to God. God is not pleased with us. We need to repent on a daily basis. We need to redirect our walk on almost a constant basis. And that is just, you know, the nature we are dealing with. When we get up in the morning, there are two natures. As a Christian, there are two natures in our lives. There's the flesh and there's the spirit. The spirit yearns and yields to be connected and united with God. The flesh yearns and yields to be connected with this earth, with this world. And there's enmity between them. Yeah. And it's a choice. Who do we yield to? You know, do we yield to the spirit of God or do we yield to the flesh of sin? You know, to the body of sin that is inside of us. It's very spiritual. If you're not a Christian, all this sounds to you like a lot of garbage. And that's okay, but that is really the message we need to deal with. And it's not a very pleasant message. If I tell you and I say you are rubbish, because that is what the Bible says, but in Christ you can be amazing, because that is what the Bible says. This is the essential message. It's not very nice, because it pretty much says that all my greatness in the sight of God is external of me. It's not inside of me. There's nothing I can boast about before God. It's not something we like to hear, but we need to hear it on a daily basis. We need to hear about the struggles. We need to hear about the persecution. If I'm not a pastor, but if I were a pastor, I would prepare the church for persecution. Yeah, because it's going to come and it's going to happen. And I would prepare them to stick close to God. I would prepare them to be as clever and... I'm looking for a word, as cunning as snakes, but as without faults as doves. That is what I would teach my church in this day and age we're living in the West. But what we hear from many pastors out there is just this kind of gospel of prosperity and wealth and doing well and good and building your life here on earth, and there's nothing to be built up. And it's really bizarre. We are not, our citizenship is not from earth. It's not here. Yeah. And if we follow God, we should, on the contrary, we should just utilize whatever is here to sustain our lives, to do the right thing on a day-to-day basis, trusting God for our sustenance, for our provision, and leave it at that. You know, if it's a lot, then we should give a lot. If it's a little, we should give a little. We should be reasonably responsible, you know, we should make sure that our family is okay, our mother and father and grandparents and children and their children. We should make sure that everybody around us, everybody where we've got responsibilities to, that they are okay. We should pray for the provision. We should seek God that we will have enough to, you know, pay whatever we need to pay. Avoid debt, yeah, biggie as well. I'm not saying it's all wrong, but try and avoid it if you can. And in that way, sort of organize our lives. And that is not very pleasant to hear. What people want to hear is that you have this nice house and this nice boat and this nice car and these nice kids and that you'll all be healthy. And the reality sometimes is very opposite. Yeah, you walk in this life and suddenly there's a call on your life to come home, to go to heaven. and you get hit by an illness, and you fight against this illness, but it's not your time. You know, you've run your race, and the best you can do is complete your race by doing the right things, preparing those who are around you to carry on once you go home. And I'm talking about Christians. Once you go home to be with the Lord. And it's sometimes interesting as well when I look at some of these so-called miracle crusades, where miracles are paraded, and yet you get people full of hope going there and coming home totally depressed because they didn't find the healing, because they didn't find what they came there to go for. And all you get is just some hyped up people who very often have got, you know, a back pain or whatever, and they get a shot of adrenaline or something, and it's temporarily gone. I don't know, yeah? I don't know. Illness and all this stuff is a big thing, but we need to try and find this. So, again, let me just go back to this point, and this is point number two. I want to cover 7 points. We're going to do the other points in the next Christian War Room show. It is about popularity, you know? These people tell you what you want to hear. They don't tell you what you need to hear. They are pushing other stuff. They're not pushing the message, the word of God. They're not telling you the full counsel of God as it is revealed in the New Testament. But they're telling you something else. And very often it's just a bunch of psychobabble. And they just hijack verses to support their psychotherapy or whatever you want to call it. You know? I've got a couple of names in my mind. I'm not going to mention them on here. I don't want to alienate anybody. And I leave it up to you, you know, to identify these people in the public domain, you know, who are not from God, who are saying stuff which is not right, who have moved away from the Bible, who are just feeding their own bellies, to whom gain is a sign of godliness. They try to gain money, and they try to get rich through the church. And they consider this as a sign of godliness. Paul talks about this. And he makes it very clear, you know, about these guys. I mean, you come with nothing into this world. You cannot take anything else. These are just clouds without rain, you know. They come, they go, and they don't really accomplish anything other than deceiving a lot of people and leading a lot of Christians away. Okay, we're only at number two of the 7 points of deception we come across. But the point I'm trying to make here is, you know, be very careful. Watch out for people who self-promote themselves. The only thing we should promote is Jesus Christ. We should promote the gospel and the message of the gospel. We should not promote ourselves. If you have a ministry, and always bear in mind, because God might call you out of this ministry at any one time, and you get a burden of your ministry, you know, in your life, what I would suggest to you is give it a neutral name so that somebody else can step in when God calls you out of it. And somebody else may be able to take it over. It sounds very depressing because you think, oh, it's my ministry. I build it up. It's not your ministry. It's the Lord's ministry. If it's your ministry, it's empty, it's dead, and it's doomed to fail. If it's the Lord's ministry, it will succeed. Okay, you're listening to the Christian War Room, and we are looking at 7 ways of deception, and we have only covered points 1 and 2, and we will carry on tomorrow with the other points. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that you will guide and lead us, and that you will lead us into truth, that we will know where to go and what to do, and that we can be faithful followers of you. I pray, Lord, give us discernment, the gift of discernment to see what is from you and what isn't from you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.